Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR. It is Monday, the 23rd of May. Thank you, everyone, for joining me here today on the Cave Show. What a weekend. What a weekend. Talk about the Mavs and the Warriors. We got the Heat and the Celtics to get into. Listen, I'm not one of those dudes that said I told you so until everything is done, but I'm leaning towards it. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. I don't give a crap about reasons. I like results. Better put some respect on the Miami Heat. You better put some respect on Jimmy Butler. I'll get into that in a little bit too. Now, listen, there's some subjects I want to get into today. The MLB has suspended a player for a game. I want to talk about that and talk about all the content, all just the stuff that has to do with that. Tiger pulls out. We'll get into that as well too. So a lot of stuff to get into. And I do want to talk a little bit of tennis. I know we don't talk a lot of tennis, but I do want to talk a little bit of tennis. And we'll do all that right here on the Cave Show with PLR. Thank you for hanging out with us, especially during this special time, this special episode. It will be the same on Wednesday. Tomorrow we will be running a best of show, but we will be ready to go on Wednesday. Again, this is the Cave Show with PLR. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's Alma School in Chandler Heights, locally in Chandler. Get down there, check them out, let them know that PLR sent you. They'll take care of you, tune you up 10% off of your cigar purchase. You also can become a club member, get you access to the members lounge, get a locker that backs up to a humidor, and never have to worry about sticks going bad. All the amenities of home, so go there and definitely check it out. They do serve beer and wine, so you can have an adult beverage while you enjoy your stick. Now, if you don't become a member, no worries at all. Just go sit out front, relax. Plenty of TVs to watch. Very relaxing. Again, beer and wine is your option while you enjoy your stick. If you can't make it down there, no worries. Just go to Stogie World, S-T-O-A-G-I-E, world.com. Same great selection. If you order early enough in the day, your sticks will ship out exact same day. Listen, all this happens at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. But like I said, if you are down there, let them know that PLR sent you, and they will take care of you 10% off of your cigar purchase. So there's a lot of stuff to get into today. I want to start with Major League Baseball. There was a big brouhaha, and I like to be completely educated on the subject before I just dive right in. But I want to hit around the peripheries of this. New York Yankees, Josh Donaldson, was suspended for comments he made towards Chicago White Sox, Tim Anderson, and calling him Jackie. Donaldson, his reasoning is Tim Anderson once referred to himself as the next Jackie Robinson, and he thought they had, I guess, I don't want to call it a friendship, but a friendly relationship. Enough for him to guess want to joke antagonize. I'm not sure what relationship he had where he thought that would be something that would be a good idea to do. But anyway, Major League Baseball has come down on him for this. He will be looking to get out of the suspension. He's going to dispute it. So it's a one-game suspension. According to baseball, MLB, just one game. We all saw his malice at third a week ago. Then this comment with the ridiculous excuse that followed. What's the point or message behind a one-game suspension? This is incredibly disappointing and plain frustrating. That's a tweet from Ethan Katz, a White Sox pitching coach. So the White Sox took exception to this. Now, here's where I think there's a message missed. For years, it is easy to poke fun at someone's ethnicity by calling them a name. And there's people don't want to admit there's code words, but there are code words. And he didn't do this out of – Donaldson wasn't doing this out of being enamored to Tim Anderson. It wasn't something like that. It wasn't something where he was saying – say he was being interviewed in a press conference, and he said, look, a lot of these young players, you know, no one will ever match up to what Jackie Robinson did for baseball, for young black kids, for young minority kids in general playing baseball – but not just the playing of the game, but for everything else that he's done. No one would have been offended or anything if he would have said, you know, with the energy that he brings, with the way he plays baseball, with the excitement, with any of that, he reminds me of he could be a young Jackie Robinson with all that he does. He didn't say it like that. He said it more condescending. Now, the question I was asked earlier is, do I think he should have been suspended? I don't know. I'm not treading water here. I'm not picking odds on. I really don't know. I think this is going to be a hard one because the union is going to be put in a position. Who do you side with? They're both union people. They're both union players. They're both MLB players. And when things like this happen, the union is always put in a difficult position. Because if you're backing one player, you're going against the other player. And if he is going to fight in suspension, the union is going to get involved. So what I'm saying, I'm not sure. I'm saying I'm not sure today. I need to do a little bit more research on this. But if it's said in a condescending way, I think what makes me believe it was condescending is the and but apology. And we've all gotten the and but apology. If I offended someone, I apologize. Yada yada. That's not an apology. I believe with Donaldson when it came out and said, hey, look, I apologize. I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to say what I said. I thought it was going to go a different way, but it didn't. That's on me. I own this. It's all on me. My bad. I think he says that. I'm not saying anyone would have necessarily believed him, but I'm saying I think MLB would have backed up off of it. But when you come out with the long explanation apology, and it always starts off, if I offended. Well, you obviously offended. That's like someone in Texas saying, bless your heart. Well, when they say bless your heart, they're about to insult you. Bless your heart. Who told you that color looked good on you? Bless your heart. Marriage must be good. You're really putting on a couple pounds. Bless your heart. Short hair doesn't make your head look as big as I thought it would. See, bless your heart is prelude to I'm about to insult you. So before the apology means, you know, you did. You don't say, if I offended you, I apologize because I offended you. That's the difference. And you know he knows. Next time you get in a fight with your significant other, try that apology. Try the apology that says, I'm sorry, but as soon as you say, but you, you're done. Apology is no longer accepted. And I think that would have got him out of it. But should he be suspended? Fine, for sure. I think MLB has to be careful with suspensions. It's a slippery slope. But we shall see. We'll see what comes out of it. And like I said, I'm interested to see how the union puts up their... In other news, It must be nice to come from the Denver Nuggets. It must be nice to be an exec for the Denver Nuggets, because it definitely, definitely gets you paid. The Minnesota Timberwolves will be hiring executive Tim Connelly to a 5-year deal worth $40 million that includes ownership equity, bounce from the Nugs, and go over to the T-Wolves. That is a hell of a job. He is now officially the highest compensated executive and looking to transform. He will be looking to transform in the T-Wolves. Well, it's going to take a lot to transform them T-Wolves. Unless he is a coach on maturity, it's going to be tough. Because they are talented. They are uber talented. That's not their problem. They just play not too smart sometimes. That's their problem. And that was very polite, the way I said it. Bless their hearts. They don't play too smart sometimes. Bless your heart. I love that saying. I absolutely love that saying. Tennis, the other news and notes before we take a break and get into basketball. I want to talk a little bit about Naomi Osaka. We all know how talented she is. We all know that she is a ridiculously good tennis player. We all know that she suffered or has issues, I guess that's the best way to put it, sometimes with the mental stress part of being a star. She's not sure, or rather, she's skipping out or dropping hints that she's going to skip out on Wimbledon. Her exact words is that it's pointless. Now, the ATP and WTA have announced ranking points won't be awarded at Wimbledon, with Russian and Belarus players banned for their country's invasion of Ukraine. So they don't want to give free points away when it comes to the rankings. Now, she says that she would consider it more than of an exhibition rather than a meaningful tournament if she's not going to get points. Her exact quote is, not sure why, but I feel like if I play Wimbledon without points, it's more like an exhibition. I know this stuff isn't true, right? But my brain just feels that way. Whenever I think something is like an exhibition, I can't go 100%. I didn't even make my decision yet, but I'm leaning towards not playing given the current circumstances. Everybody deals with things differently. And I think Naomi Osaka was all about tennis like a lot of folks are, or all about one thing like a lot of folks are. I think it wouldn't matter to her. We can't put her in a box like we do every other athlete. We're not going to be able to do that. She's completely different, and things impact and things affect her in different ways. She followed up saying, I would say the decision is kind of affecting my mentality coming into grass. I'm not 100% sure if I'm going to go there. I would love to go there and get some experience on the grass court. But at the same time, for me, it's kind of like, I don't want to say pointless, no pun intended, but I'm the type of player that gets motivated by seeing my rankings go up and down and stuff like that. So I think the intention is really good, but the execution is kind of all over the place. Okay. By saying that, I don't think she should play there. Osaka doesn't really like a lot of the, and I'll say it because I'm in the media and I ask a lot of questions, but there's a lot of rudderless questions that's asked by the media. Sometimes we just ask questions for the sake of asking questions. She doesn't do good at that. She doesn't have the ability right now, and at this stage in her career, to do the mindless just fluttering of blowing off reporters. She's not that person that just can be mean and evil. She's not that person that just can come out and look at you and say, next question, moving on. And you know what's going to happen if she shows up to Wimbledon now. You already know what's going to happen. What changed your mind? What made you want to do this? Why do you think that it's okay now when you said it was pointless before? You know, it's going to be a lot of stuff that comes out. And she's not that type of person. And I hate to use the phrase or the term kid gloves when we talk about professional athletes. But she's not the type of person that you can just go at that's going to come back at you. And so for her, it's probably best not to show up. For her, it's probably best. She is so uber talented. She stands for all the good. She does the right things. She seems like a personable young lady. She seems like she doesn't want to get caught up in all the minutiae that goes on when it goes to back and forth. I think, honestly, if Naomi Osaka could just go play tennis and leave, she would. There are media obligations that get her to answer questions and sit there. I don't believe it's what she likes to do. Now, I've heard reporters say, you know, she has to. It's what she does. And I get that. But because she's a little bit more sensitive, and she sometimes struggles with the big spotlight and the media attention, I think a lot of reporters can be just assholes and try to hit you with the I got you questions to prove how smart they are. And I don't think she really wants to deal with that. So I think it's good for her to skip it. If she feels that's what's going to happen, do it. Once she put it out there that she might skip it, I think she should. Unless she really wants to dive in that pool. And it's not going to make it even easier for her, especially since she lost in the first round of the French Open. There's just going to be a ton of questions, a ton of pressure on her. I mean, she didn't win a set. 7-5, 6-4 to 20-year-old American Amanda, I always mess up her last name, Anisimova, I believe I got it right. So it's going to be a bunch of questions, a bunch of hard questions, a bunch of questions that are going to have a lot of stuff tied up. Someone asked me, do you think she should not do interviews? Yeah, she has to. It's part of the gig. But don't be fooled. I've been in press conferences where the media likes people and where they don't like people. And the questions are completely different. And if you think they're not, you're fooling yourself. When it's someone that's not liked, the questions are combative. When it's someone that you do like, the questions are softballs. When it's someone you can get after, they do. Look, I'm not the biggest Matt Nagy fan, former coach of the Bears. Some of the questions he got, they never would ask Belichick that. Some of the answers he stayed and gave, Belichick never would have stayed and gave. They're asking him the same questions over and over, just rephrasing it, they would have never done that to Belichick. But they did it to Nagy. The stuff they say about James Harden, coming to camp overweight, they get after him. They'll do the same thing to Luka. They say, oh, but when he gets older, he learns the importance of coming to camp in shape, he'll be all right. The media can phrase it any way they want with the questions. I really wish she would almost go Marshawn Lynch. I'm just here so I don't get fined. Leave me alone. Well, Miss Osaka, do you believe? Yep, next question. Nope, next question. Yep, next question. Too nice. She's too nice. You know I'd say it. You know I'd do it. But with the upset today, and then saying that she doesn't think it's really worth anything, it's pointless. If you're in a tournament, you got to be all in. If you're saying it's pointless now, don't show up. It's like, have you ever heard an athlete say, I think I'm about to retire? As soon as you say it, you've retired. That's why some of the greats never say they're going to retire before. They walk away after. They don't want the farewell tour. Just don't want it. If you know you're banged up, you're injured, that's going to be it, that's fine. But the Larry Fitzgeralds, they just walk away. Peyton Manning, they just walk away. They don't go into the season saying, this is it, last hurrah. They don't do that. They just don't. I will separate for a minute. We'll come back a little bit about the Mavs and the Warriors, the Heat and the Celtics. And then we have scheduled to come on Stephen Hunter. 11 NBA seasons from my neck of the woods, from Chicago. Wanted to talk about the Suns and how they folded in these playoffs. So we'll get to all that right here on the Cave Show with PLR. This is the Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Make sure you are checking us out. Every day we're generally on at 1 o'clock live, but we will be on at 3 p.m. through the entire month of June. 3 p.m. the entire month of June. So make sure that you're adjusting that for the next 6 weeks. And definitely make sure you check us out live. Now, if you miss us, no worries. We appear on KSRN Sports Radio Network. Download the app from the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. Also, you can check us out on Spotify as well as iHeartRadio. Again, download the app, Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. Just download The Cave Show. It's brought to you by The Sports Cave. Get updated when a new show is there, and definitely, definitely check us out. You can also catch us on social media, letting you know what time we're on and all that good stuff all the time. At The Sports Cave on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook. Joining us shortly, like I said, will be the one, the only Stephen Hunter, 11-year NBA vet. Always good to have my guy on the air with us. So let me talk for 1 second about the Warriors and the Mavs. First off, how the hell are the Mavs now shooting like they're supposed to shoot? When they were playing the Suns, Spencer Dinwiddie hitting, you know, fadeaway threes, one-footed threes, looking left, shooting right, no-look threes, Maxi Kleber hitting everything. Everybody hitting all these shots. Now all of a sudden they play the Warriors. They can't throw a grain of salt into a bathtub full of water. The Suns, by pooping the bed, has taken away what was supposed to be a clash of the Titans. It was supposed to be, number one, the up-and-coming new young guns. I know Chris Paul ain't young. The up-and-coming young guns against gritty veteran championship Golden State Warriors. The defensive wings against the defensive wings. The veteran point guard against the other veteran point guard who aren't exactly too fond of each other. Up-and-coming young superstar Devin Booker against Klay Thompson, who can bounce the ball 11 times for 60 points. We were supposed to have that type of matchup. But what do we have instead? Because the Suns don't live up to their end of the bargain. We got the Mavericks getting manhandled by the Warriors. We're getting Luka Doncic flopping on a slam dunk. If you want to see the dunk, simple. Go to Sports Cave on Instagram, Caves with a K, and watch the dunk. And the only bad thing about the dunk is Mark Davis, until it was challenged, had the audacity to first call an offensive foul. If that was an offensive foul, every dunk in America, when you dunk on somebody, should be an offensive foul. But the refs got it right. Looked at it, and they looked again, and they looked again, and they looked again, and then they ended up calling a foul on the flopping Luka. Incredible. Andrew Wiggins got up to get down. And a couple plays later, a tip left hand follow dunk. This time cutting on the inside of Luka. And they're up 3-0. Now Dallas had a chance in game two. They had a shot. They had a shot. Mavericks came right back. Look, I was doing another radio show. Actually, I was doing Seattle Sports Radio. And it was halftime. And I remember being on that show, and I looked at the score, and I said, Dallas has 72 halftime points, and they're only up by 14. That ain't enough. That ain't enough. That means all they have to do, all the Warriors have to do, is get four stops in a row. Steph comes down, beat Steph twice. Klay comes down, beat Klay once. And Wiggins comes down and beat Wiggins. And just like that, it's a two-point game. One possession. 14 ain't enough. And they didn't even have to get all that back at once. And they did. They were down by two at the end of the third. Usually when you got a 14-point lead on somebody and you're the one in the deficit, coach usually says, hey, don't try to get it all back. Get down about 5-7, go into the next quarter, and then we'll get them. They ate it all up. And the Mavericks went back shooting the way the Mavericks shoot. See, shooting, unless you're a professional shooter, gets harder when you miss. Steph is a professional shooter. He go 1 for 9 and doesn't care, he'll shoot that 10. Clay's a professional shooter. 1 for 9, he don't care, he's shooting that 10. Max Cleaver's not a professional shooter. There were times in the game last night where he was wide open and he passed the ball. Or he was wide open and he decided to try to cut inside. There was one time specifically he tried to cut and he stepped out of bounds on the end line when he caught it in three-point range because he's been missing. So he's thinking now. Professional shooters don't care. That's the difference. They're professional shooters. So when the Mavs are playing the Suns and they're getting those open shots early and they're making them, they're getting confident and the Suns were getting tight. Because the Suns, if we're honest, don't have a whole bunch of professional shooters. Mikal shoots threes, hits threes. Cam Johnson shoots threes, hits threes. They never had to do it with the pressure on. They never had to do it consistently. Let me rephrase that. With the pressure on. Different. It's different when you shoot with the pressure on. Makes a big difference. Makes a big, big difference. Now all those guys are going to squeeze up. Shots getting tight, been a little short, in and out, back rim, front rim, backboard off. Things are getting tight for the Warriors. They're fine. They're fine. They're just coming down, being Warriors. They're just coming down being the Warriors. The Mavs couldn't do this a series ago. And I know I'm sounding like a homer. I know I am. But they couldn't do this a series ago. The one thing I absolutely love that the Warriors are doing, that I absolutely love, and you have to give Andrew Wiggins his props. And I'm not a big I told you so guy. I'm going to do it here. When they traded for Andrew Wiggins, and I got tape, I got a receipt. So this isn't just someone saying it now. I got a receipt. When they got D'Angelo Russell, I said, Clay's out, make up some points, suffer a little on defense, see what he has. Then Steph got hurt. Then Draymond got hurt. Like, But then they made the trade for Wiggins. And I remember being on this show, and I forget who was on with me, and he said, what do you think of the trade? And I said, I love it. I absolutely love it. There's no pressure on him now. Even though he was the number one overall draft pick, there's no pressure on him now. He doesn't have to be the team leader. He doesn't have to be the go-to guy. He doesn't have to lead the team in scoring every night. He doesn't have to always do the things that you're asked to do when you're a number one pick. Doesn't have to be the face of the franchise. Golden State has a face. Steph Curry. They have a guy to take those shots. Steph Curry. When the media is hitting and punching, they're going to punch at Steph, then Draymond, then Clay. If they haven't tired themselves out, then they get to you. So I thought it was a perfect situation. And what has he done? He's grown into that. He's become reliable in that role. See, a lot of people got mixed up because no one's going to give you what KD gives you. Because there's only one KD. So he wasn't going to come in and do that. He was going to come in and do what he does well. And what he does well is play good defense, be athletic, and get opportunistic points. What he's become is a very solid defender, a very solid offensive player. And what makes it even better, he's become a reliable offensive player. He does what he does well. You can count on him for shooting. You can count on him for defense. You can take him now, being as athletic as he is, and put him on the best offensive player on the other team. And you know he's going to shut them down because he's going to flat out compete. There isn't the pressure, oh boy, we'll lose if Andrew Wiggins doesn't do this. We'll lose if Andrew Wiggins doesn't do that. That's not his pressure. And because it's not his pressure, he's able to flourish in that. That pressure belongs to Steph, to Clay, and Draymond. So I love this from day one. I make no bones about it. I've loved it from day one. And it really, really gives me pleasure to see that young man transform into who he is. And the one thing that he can do better than anybody, and I know all the Luka fanboys are going to say, well, he still scored 40, but he also gave up points. Everyone gets so enamored with what someone scores. If you score 20, but your dude scored 18, it really doesn't mean as much. Sorry, it doesn't. It's just a fact. Luka didn't score 40. 22 of them in the second half. So the fanboys are out there saying how great he played. How many points did he get? Well, his 40 is offset by Wiggins' 27. That's not 40. Well, Derek's fourth score, 27. Let's beat that. Their fourth score got 27. The Mavs' fourth score, do we want to call that Cleaver? We want to call it Bullock? We want to call it Finney Smith? Let's say we call it all three. They got 9. So there is a difference. There is a big difference. The one thing I'm noticing with the Mavericks, and the one thing that I believe is going to hurt them until they find him help, and I hate using that word because everybody needs help, but the one thing that's hurting them is Luka's usage rate is just way too high. It's way too high. He controls the ball way too long. And you can say what you will, but I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't see the difference in what he's doing and what James Harden did. I really don't see the difference. James had the ball in his hand a whole lot in Houston. They waited. They spread the floor. A lot of threes. A lot of step backs. A lot of James dribble, 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 and then let it go. What's the difference between what he's doing and Luka's doing? Well, if we get James another superstar, he'll play better. Well, he had one, he had two, or one and a half in Brooklyn. It wouldn't work out. He got 2.5, almost 3, depending on how Tobias played. And Philly, didn't work out. So how will Luka play if they get a star? I hear some crazy stuff, some crazy possibility on some crazy trades. The days, let me phrase it like this, so that way everyone understands what I'm saying. The days of an A-plus star going to play with an A-plus star are probably over. Because there's levels to this. So you can get a star to come and play. But there's not that many A-plus stars out there. There really aren't. A-plus stars are not just stars. They're 100% brand. Giannis is an A-plus star. Kevin Durant is an A-plus star. That's the one more than likely to move. No, I take that back. The next one, LeBron is an A-plus star. Those are A-plus stars. They come equipped with game, and they come equipped with a brand. When you're an A-plus star, to move with an A-plus star, that means you're giving up part of your brand to play with them. It means when things go wrong, you're willing to take the blame. When LeBron loses, when things go wrong, how often is LeBron blamed? When Embiid loses, how often is he blamed? When Giannis loses, he blamed. Or does the secondary guy get it? Middleton got the blame, not because he did anything wrong, because he was hurt. Giannis did all he could do without Middleton 1-0. LeBron, age 49, still putting up a whole lot of points, just didn't get the help. Embiid, best season he's had, probably should have been MVP, just didn't get the help. Those are A-plus stars. Next level stars. Help stars. Anthony Davis, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Devin Booker. Guys that can move and their brand isn't so large that it overshadows the next person. As much as I love Dame Lillard, not a brand star, not a superstar. He can move. His brand will not block your son. When people keep saying he needs another star, another superstar, no. He needs a star that can be almost as bright as his star, but not bright enough to be his star, because they have to realize it's going to be Luka's team. And if something goes wrong, it's probably going to be your fault, not his fault. And they have to be able to realize that. They have to be able to understand that. And they have to be able to accept that. So you're not going to get Luka pairing with Giannis. Luka would like a Zach LaVine. Luka would like a Karl Anthony Towns. Luka would like a Devin Booker. Luka would like a Dame Lillard. Luka would like someone like that. And then we will see if Luka has that ability to share. See, that's what makes Steph so amazing. And people don't act like they don't want to talk about that. That's what makes Steph so amazing. Steph, when you look at it, doesn't really care. Of course he has an ego. He wouldn't be where he was if he didn't have an ego. There's no great player in any sport that doesn't have an ego. But he can subjugate a lot of nonsense to win. When they won their first title, everyone that grandmother knows Steph should have been an MVP. It was Andre Iguodala. He got credit for holding LeBron James to only like 33 points a game. And they called it great defense. We know Steph should have won MVP. Steph didn't care. At least he didn't show it out, really. He just wanted to win. Then the next year they lose, they go out and they get KD. Someone, remember what I said, stars, the days of stars, A-Stars joining A-Stars. Didn't care. Just wanted to win. KD is the MVP of the next two finals. That didn't care. Just wanted to win. To win. Steph will run. He'll move. He'll do things without the ball. He didn't care that KD was the scoring leader that year. Had the most points on the team. Just wanted to win. When KD left and Klay got hurt, didn't play for a couple of years, Draymond got hurt. Draymond was being Draymond. Draymond telling KD, we won without you, we'll win without you again. Through all that, what's the calming influence? Steph. He ain't tuck and run. When they brought in young guys, he didn't tuck and run. When they brought in Andrew Wiggins, not once did he say, move me, trade me. Even this year when LeBron James was talking about Steph, what did Steph say? I'm good where I'm at. Appreciate the compliment. The most unselfish one you're going to find. Other stars aren't like that. They're just not. I've talked to NBA players and say, playing with a superstar like that is easy because he knows he's going to get his in the flow of the game. Doesn't matter. But what he's doing at the same time is he's making your job easier. There's a someone that used to play for the Phoenix Suns. Not going to drop his name, but a really good relationship. Well, still do. He doesn't play for the Suns anymore. But he said to me one time, he said, I like playing here, but let me tell you something. Boy, there was a time I played with two superstars in my life. It was easy as hell. Nobody thought about me. Nobody thought about me. They were too busy doubling them. Here, yeah, I know I'm playing with a star, but it's different. The attention paid is different. So instead of that, I catch the ball and I get tick, tick before I shoot. Now let's catch the ball and get tick. Pair him up. Let's see if Luka can play with another star. Let's see if he can play without having to always have the ball in his hand all the time. We'll find out. But this series, it's over. Golden State has this. Up 3-0. I think teams that are up 3-0 in the NBA is like 146-0. And there's not one time in this series where if you're a Warriors fan where you ever really felt like, oh, they got it. Even when they were up by 19, you're thinking there's no way they're going to hit all those shots, especially when the Warriors decide to cut those balls. That falls off. I mean, we're being really honest. No one was ever worried. 14-point lead isn't enough. Just got a message from Steve. We may have to push this. So Wednesday, I'll let you know. May have to push this, though. In the other series, you better start putting some respect on Jimmy Butler's name. You better start putting some respect on his name. I don't want to hear any excuses. People get hurt. I don't want to hear Boston fans talking about, well, the game won. We were without Smart. We were without this person. Well, the Heat played without people. They played without Kyle Lowry. There are no excuses. If we're going to start making excuses, then Toronto wouldn't have won. They wouldn't have beat the Warriors without, who was without Klay and KD. The Cavs and LeBron wouldn't have won. When everybody got hurt and Draymond got suspended. We can't make excuses at this point. It is what it is. Goes the other way. The Warriors wouldn't have won if Chris Paul doesn't get hurt in Houston. So everybody needs a little help. Everybody does a lot of things differently. It's just the way it goes. But for those that are still reluctant to put Jimmy Butler in the top maybe 7-8 players in the NBA, they're out of their mind. And I don't mean regular season 7-8. I mean playoff 7-8. You tell me what he hasn't done in a playoff positively to change a game and change a team. Minnesota was better with him. Philadelphia was better with him. Miami got to the finals with him. Tell me he's not a difference maker. Philadelphia hasn't been as good without him. The Bulls took forever to get back to the playoffs without him. Minnesota hasn't been as good without him. This dude does not care. Whatever it takes to win, that's what Jimmy Butler's going to do. And you know he took the needle. You know he did. That knee is hurt. He didn't play the second half 2 days ago. Knees don't get healthy in a day and a half without a lot. They don't get healthy that fast. You know he took the needle. So, listen, you better start putting some respect on his name. That's all I got to say. Listen, did get a message from Steve. Not going to be able to make it today. We're going to get that rescheduled for a later time. And listen, everyone, though, I do appreciate you hanging out with me today. We will be back Wednesday. Tomorrow is a best of show, so make sure that you are back here with us live. But come back and listen tomorrow. May hear a show that you missed, something that you just like and want to hear again. Either way, we'll be doing it here again right here on The Cave Show with PLR. I know I didn't open up the phone line. I had a couple people call in. I apologize. I will get to you on Wednesday for sure. Until next time, make sure you follow us at the Sports Cave, Caves with the K, on the Instagram, the Facebook, and the Twitter. You can also get me on Instagram, on Twitter at PLR on Sports. Until the next time, everyone, take care, be safe, temps, bring us home.